It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The first wave of Hmong immigration from Southeast Asia to the U.S. occurred after the Vietnam War. When the war spread to Laos, the U.S. recruited Hmong people to fight against communism.
Hmong refugees fled genocide in Laos after their country fell to communist forces. Today, Wisconsin is home to more than 66,000 Hmong Americans, according to the latest census estimates.
Now, in an effort to preserve culture and language, a new Hmong American immersion charter school is set to open in Appleton next year. We'll hear from the school's principal.
But first, a new book features untold stories of resilience in Hmong American education and the impact on culture and identity. It's called Remembering Culture, Erasure and Renewal in Hmong American Education. Author Bic Ngo is a professor of curriculum and instruction at University of Minnesota. Bic, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You write about how schools put these pressures to assimilate on people with cultures different from American culture. How do these demands get embedded in the school system?
You know, this is something that we educators have been struggling to answer for many years. And one of the things that in my work that we've been focusing on is curriculum, culture and curriculum, as well as pedagogy. So one of my mentors at UW-Madison was Gloria Ladson-Billings, who coined the term culturally relevant pedagogy. And we have struggled to implement culturally relevant pedagogy for quite a long time because of the ways in which our education system pretends that it is culturally neutral, even though it privileges Western knowledge systems, including, for example, English language. And by doing so, it enacts deculturalization. And in my work, I suggest that the deculturalization fragments Hmong culture as well as Hmong relationships.
Day to day for young people who are Hmong and in American schools, what are some ways that schools might encourage students to conform to a dominant culture?
Mm-hmm. One of the major ways is English language dominance in curriculum instruction, that to meet the highest standards, you have to meet English, standardized English in speaking as well as in writing. And so that would be the expectations, right? School mm-hmm. expects Hmong children to know, be fluent in English language. Where at home, with some older generations, and this includes parents as well as grandparents and other elders in the community, that who do not know English, there's an expectation to understand and speak in Hmong. School has expectations that are a little bit more hidden in terms of like how to act, you know, how to dress, how to speak. As well as more hidden, there's also time. What we do outside of the home in terms of curricular activities. School expects children to be involved in extracurricular activities from sports to band to clubs. And these are really important for college applications and opportunities. Whereas some Hmong families, many Hmong families expect students to spend time with families and engaging in larger Hmong gatherings to learn about Hmong cultural practices and build relationships with larger family groups. So for the Hmong students in my study, when their outside school lives involves caring for younger siblings, when their outside school lives involve long weekends at with family gatherings, ceremonies that take a toll on their time, but isn't acknowledged by schools, right? Mm. They feel like they're living in a dissonant world where there are two worlds, as people often say, and that there's this culture clash.
You write about behaviors that Hmong leader Mai Zhang witnessed of Americans living in Africa. What were these behaviors that she witnessed?
It was an interesting thing. She acknowledged that, argued that it was important for Hmong students to learn American culture, learn English language in order to be successful. But at the same time, she said that that American people in Africa do this all the time. When they travel, they also do not accept the school system, the language, the culture of Africans, but they segregate themselves so that they can be assured that their children learn English, learn American culture, and all these things that they see as important. So Mai Zhang said that, okay, what Hmong parents want in charter schools isn't wrong, because Americans do that when they're abroad. But the resistance in the U.S. to ethnic groups such as the Hmong to carve out spaces such as charter schools of belonging is one that's really anti-immigrant. Why don't you assimilate? You know, if you want to keep your language, then go back to Laos. And, you know, in my book, I use excerpts from newspapers and public discourses where they demand Hmong people forget the language. You need to learn English. You're in America. Speak English.
And, you know, I want to enter this world of immersion schools and charter schools, because that is a response to some of these issues. Next fall, a Hmong American immersion school is opening in Appleton. How might this type of school change circumstances for Hmong students in the region?
So charter schools is one response of some Hmong families to the lack of culturally relevant education in the majority of school systems. And for the most part, I think that it comes with advantages and disadvantages, right? So okay, there's a struggle with charter schools to meet some standards, including graduation standards. I don't know if it will contribute to breaking down stereotypes across white communities and Hmong communities, but what it can do is stem potentially the fragmentation I saw in my study. Some Hmong students were calling other Hmong people ghetto, for example, or calling their Hmong peers who still practice shamanism jingle bells, denigrating Hmong culture and identity. So the Hmong immersion school can better allow a cultural renewal, resurgence, respect for Hmong peoples within the Hmong community because of the fragmentation that has been occurring within the larger public school system and society in general.
As we see an immersion school opening in Appleton, others like it maybe around the country, what should be studied next? What should we be watching for with these schools?
Yeah, one of the things that I think we should pay attention to in immersion settings or charter school settings is, are the standards still white Western cultural standards, right? Is culturally relevant pedagogy a bridge to attaining the standards set by Western knowledge systems? Or are these opportunities in immersion schools broadening understandings of what knowledge is valuable? So for the Hmong students in my study, for example, shamanism, the love and dedication commitment to family was important more than individualism or individual success, right? So what are we reaching for in immersion settings? Are we reaching for, you know, individual attainment and success? Are we reaching for these other things that are different, right? Sort of like Hmong collectivity, a dedication to family, that are also part of visions of success for the Hmong community.
Bic, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm happy to. Thanks again for inviting me.
Bic Noh is a professor of curriculum and instruction at University of Minnesota. Her new book is called Remembering Culture, Erasure and Renewal in Hmong American Education. Now we turn to Maiku Hung, principal of Johnston Elementary School in Appleton and future principal of the Hmong American Immersion School, which is set to open next school year. Maiku, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you so much, Kate.
You call the school HI for short. What does HI stand for?
Yes, HAI means an abbreviation. It means Hmong American Emergent Schools. And HAI in the Hmong language literally means to speak. So for our students within our school, we want our students to be able to use their voices to positively impact the change in our community.
Are they learning Hmong as a second language?
Some of our students may have heard parents or grandparents speak in their homes. Some might know some Hmong language. Some might have no knowledge or cannot speak Hmong at all. Definitely for most of our students, Hmong will be more like their secondary language.
How is that culture and history and language, how have you seen that fade over time?
Yeah. So, you know, a little bit back history. My parents came, brought me to the United States when I was about a year and a half. So for me, I grew up having to learn English. And then when I'm at home, I hear and my native language through my parents and grandparents. So growing up, I grew up in the Appleton area here. And growing up, what I learned with English, reading, writing, math, I learned from school. And when I get home, I was able to immerse in my native language, be able to speak with my parents, grandparents. And I didn't have to worry about, that communication piece. The hardship that I grew up with more is that cultural clash between the Hmong culture and the Western culture. Today, many of our Hmong students are experiencing something very different, and that includes my own children. So I noted, like in my own home, I have three children. My oldest, who grew up with my parents, where, so they can hear and be able to converse in Hmong language. She grew up being dual language. She knows both language, I would say, pretty fluently. My second and my third, after my mom died, they really did not hear or converse much in the Hmong language. And both my second and third child does not speak Hmong at all. So part of it is when I'm home, I don't speak Hmong very often either. So English became my primary language, even though it was my second language growing up. It is now my primary language in my home, in which my children hears it, speaks it, and then they're losing the Hmong language piece. And both my second and third children does not speak Hmong. And if I accidentally say something in Hmong, their response is, "Speak English, Mom." Mm. Son will often say that to me. So I think that language piece is being lost. And because of that, the communication is becoming barriers to many of our families. I look at my own students here. I've been in education for over 20 years. And especially now, I'm at an elementary school. I have a very diverse school where I do have Hmong students as well. And there's been time where when there's, things I have to communicate home to parents, and the parent would say, "Can I put you on speakerphone so you can speak to my children because we can't communicate? My kids don't speak Hmong and I don't speak English, so then I can't communicate to them." When we know that our parents are our child's first educator, we build a lot within your home, your morals, the integrity, the culture within your home. And if parents are not able to communicate with their own children, that creates barriers and it creates, and lack those foundations that our children needs to be able to have with their parents and those relationship piece as well. And then you look at self-confidence and self-esteem, it's going to be impeded upon. And then I look at then it comes back to, okay, if this is the situation here, what about the communication between now, not just their parents alone, because we already see that some of the barriers, what about grandparents? I know my own children, the two youngest one that I've talked about, oftentimes when I say, "Hey, can you bring this to grandpa," which is my father, who does not speak any English. My youngest or my second will say, "Oh no, we can't. What happened is grandpa start talking to us." Mm. I don't know how to respond. So they are reluctant to even go and speak with their grandparent. And then therefore the relationship there is also hindered because of that. It was really interesting. I have a Nam-Hmong student who said, "Hey, Mrs. Sir, how do you say hello in Hmong?" Right. And so I said, "Oh, just say when you greet somebody, you see them, just say Nyojong." And they're like, "Okay." So, you know, every time I see him, he would say Nyojong, Mrs. Her. I would say Nyojong. And then one day, one of my Hmong students said to him, "What are you saying? What language are you speaking?"
Oh, wow.
And he said, looked at the student. He said, "I'm speaking Hmong to Mrs. Her. I'm saying hello to her." He's like, "Oh, how do you say that?" And so this student said, "Nyojong." Before I knew it, I walked into the hallway and the kids are saying, "Nyojong, Mrs. Her," as I walked around.
Maiku, where are you in the process of getting ready to open your doors for Hai?
It is so exciting, Kate. We do have the $1.5 million approved to open our charter school this fall. This year, we are in our planning year to look at curriculum instruction, looking at scheduling, looking at our board handbook, a lot of the foundation things that needed to be done. We are planning within the next few weeks here to also look at some of the existing Hmong charter school. And so we need to get the foundations of what their schools are doing that is making their schools successful. We are on track, Katie, to be able to have our school open this fall. There's a lot of excitement around our school, and it will allow it to be equitable for all types of learners and what their needs may be.
Maiku, some would say that the Hmong American Immersion School and Johnston Elementary School, which will share the same building, you are separating students. You're not bringing them together. What do you say to that criticism?
Yeah. And when you look at separating students, you talk about segregation, right? Mm-hmm. So segregation refers to the forced separating or isolating of groups of individuals from the dominant culture. The purpose of Hai is a Hmong culture immersion. Hai is going to provide an opportunity for students to learn about the Hmong language, culture, and history that it is not in the current Appleton Area School District curriculum. Mm-hmm. Not providing opportunities to learn the Hmong culture and history is not inclusion. In fact, Hai is open to all students and is going to create through the lens of inclusion, not dominance, superiority, or separation. And that teaching and learning of the Hmong language, culture, and history allow our non-Hmong students to value other culture in their community, and also to learn to speak, read, and write Hmong allows any student to be able to communicate without barriers. We need to look at how we can serve our marginalized community and make sure that we are giving those equitable access to all students.
Maiku, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your efforts with the school.
You're so welcome.
Maiku He is principal of Johnston Elementary School in Appleton. She's leading this effort to open a charter school in the district. Hai, the Hmong American Immersion School, is set to open next fall. And earlier, we spoke with University of Minnesota curriculum and instruction professor Bic Ngo about her new book that explores Hmong resilience in the American education system.